You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right, you guys. Well, I'm going to pray and I am going to kick it off. So let's do this thing. Father, I thank you for every single person that is watching this broadcast in the group live this morning. And I thank you for those that are going to be listening to it on the podcast. And I thank you for those that are going to be joining it on YouTube, which is launching soon. And I just thank you for the message of the gospel. I thank you, Father, that it is the power of salvation. And I thank you, Lord, that it is the power of the kingdom of God. And I just thank you that the kingdom of God comes with power. I thank you that we are more powerful than we've imagined. I thank you, Father, that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And I just declare, Father, that this series is going to be a wake-up call to all of us, Father, to get back to the reality of the truth of Christ in us, of miracles, signs, and wonders being a normal part of our everyday life, Father. I thank you that we are going to be renouncing sober living. We are going to be renouncing natural living. And Father, we are going to step into the place where we are filled with the Holy Spirit to overflow. And I thank you that as a result, signs and wonders are going to be a normal part of our lives. They're going to follow us, Lord. And I thank you that we are going to be a demonstration of the resurrected Lord King Jesus, everywhere we go. I thank you, Father, that we are an answer to people's prayers, Lord, that there are miracles in our mouths. And I just offer myself right now, Father, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing unto you because I'm in Christ. And I say, Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let this the words that I share today, Father, be not in the words, enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of your power, Father, so that our faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of you. And so I bless this series. I bless this podcast, Father. I thank you that everyone that needs to hear it is going to get it however they need to get it. And I thank you, Father, for the testimonies and the fruit that will come as a result of this series. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. So awesome, you guys. I was saying before I started to pray that I had to almost kind of settle myself down today. I am really, really fired up by the things that God has been speaking to me. Really, since, you know, we came into the new year, if you haven't listened to my word of the year for 2025, I encourage you to join the Path to Purpose group or get on the podcast or whatever you need to do to listen to that word. Primarily, it's summarized in this sentence. So let me just share it with you. This was the sentence that God spoke to me. He said, "The way I want to manifest myself through you is mind-blowing." I'm going to say it again. The way that I want to manifest myself through you is mind-blowing. And then he said, "So you're going to have to let me blow your mind. You're going to have to get out of your mind and into mine." So, boy, we kicked off the new year with a really strong, awesome word from the Father. And I felt really strongly, I needed to finish up my, you know, Path to True Success series that I had started before, you know, the new year. But I felt really strongly that we wanted to kick off the year with a bang with this series and honestly come out swinging in the new year and taking back ground in our lives that maybe has been lost. Maybe we have been passive. Maybe we have allowed natural thinking to seep into our minds. Maybe we've just been passive and allowed some things to persist in our life when we really needed to go on the offense, right? We needed to definitely get out of the defense mode and victim mode, and we needed to step into sonship. We needed to step into the reality of what Jesus has accomplished for his body, for his bride, which, by the way, is us. So I am coming out swinging myself with this series called Supernatural by Design. You know, I really like that title, and I like it because it sounds better than what I wanted to call it, but what I wanted to call it is maybe a tagline. And it is that the supernatural is not optional. Okay. We are supernatural by design. We are partakers of God's design nature. As I said, when I prayed that Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And it's time for us to believe the gospel. It's time for us to step into the kingdom, which we've already been translated into, but step into the kingdom, reality of the kingdom of God on earth. And so I brought this scripture into the word of the month, and I'm going to kick off this series with this same scripture. It's Romans 12, 1 from the Mirror Translation. And it's a really, really powerful translation of this scripture. I'm going to read it here. It says in Romans 12, 1, again, in the Mirror Translation, here's what it says. Live consistent with who you really are. Like, I have that underlined in my notes here. Live consistent with who you really are. Let me read the whole thing before I jump in. It says, inspired by the loving kindness of God. The most practical expression of worship is to make your bodies available to Him as a living sacrifice. This pleases Him more than any religious routine. Oh my goodness, that's good. And this is very powerful. Double underline this part. It says, He desires to find visible, individual expression in your person. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Who, God Almighty, King of the universe, right? The one that said, let there be light and spoke all things into existence. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead that dwells in you. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord and Savior, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who was, who is, and who is to come, right? The preeminent one. Desires to find visible individual expression in your person. Okay. And I'll go back to what it said at the beginning. It says, live consistent with who you really are. And so this series is really a call back to what should be the basics of the gospel, which should be the basics of life in the church as the church, but unfortunately is not often the case. And it's a life that is supernatural by design. So I just want to say it again, that the supernatural is not optional. Miracles are not optional. Okay. The kingdom of God is not in word, but it comes with power. Let me read that scripture. That's in 1 Corinthians 4:20. Again, I wrote it down in five different translations. They all basically say the same thing, but I really liked the Amplified version. It says, for the kingdom of God is not based on talk, but on power. I also liked, I think this is the CEV version. I get mixed up on which all of these versions are, but the CEV version, it says, for God's kingdom isn't just a lot of words, it is power. Whoa, that's so good. The CSB version, which is the Christian Standard Bible, I believe. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Okay, so the kingdom of God is designed to be demonstrated, right? It's not just meant to be a reality that we walk around with dormant inside, right? It's not just a reality that we sing about or a reality that we preach about. It's meant to be demonstrated. It's meant to be a power that comes out of our lives, that is the power of the Holy Spirit with demonstration. And it is so powerful that it will overcome any work of darkness. It will overcome the world system. It will reverse any trace of sin, any trace of the curse in our lives. Why? Because Jesus has finished and defeated every trace of the dominion of darkness, every trace of, defeated. There is no spiritual or natural or any level of authority that the kingdom of darkness has left, frankly, except what human beings give it. And so it comes with power. And in John 14, 12, Jesus said that the same works that he did that we would do, and that even greater works we would do. And I would love to see the body of Christ get into the place where we're doing greater works. But the truth is, some of us aren't even doing the same works, right? And so we have settled for a natural life. We have settled for a gospel that, frankly, a lot of times is talk. We talk a lot about Jesus. We talk a lot about living, you know, with Jesus, like Jesus. We talk a lot about the things that we need to do in order to reach God. And in order, you know, we just have a lot of talk going on. I mean, there's more talk in the earth. I mean, there probably has always been a lot of talk, but it's more public now, right? We've got social media, we've got podcasts, we've got the news, we've got media. And there's just words, 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 words. But I just want to say, where are the miracles? And I'm not saying that there are no miracles happening. I'm just saying in an average week, and you know, in the majority of churches and the majority of believers' lives, I mean, when's the last time we saw a real, real miracle? I mean, one where, you know what, someone couldn't walk and now they can. Okay. Someone had, you know, whatever, a tax bill they couldn't pay and it got paid. And I'm not saying that there aren't testimonies. Of course there's testimonies, but I'm saying that it needs to be at a much greater level. Why? Because there's more believers alive today than there ever has been on the face of the earth. So the impact of the kingdom of God should be much, much greater than we are finding ourselves living in. And I believe the reason is because we have settled. We have settled for natural lives. We have settled for a life that is dependent on the world system. And we have not really set our hearts and our minds and frankly are not living consistent with who we really are. And part of that's, you know, maybe because we don't know who we really are. Maybe it's because we don't believe who we really are. But I'm here to come out right here at the beginning of this year and say it's time that God wants to blow our minds with the way that he wants to manifest ourselves, himself through us. So there's a lot that I'm going to be talking about over the course of this series. One is the idea that God's way up in heaven while we're down on earth and we're praying up to heaven real high, trying to get our prayers up there so that God will come down and do a miracle, rather than recognizing that we've been given the authority to use his name and that we, in fact, are the miracle workers for this hour on the planet. And so we are the ones that should be not only preaching the gospel, but preaching the gospel with power, with signs and wonders following us. So it's so powerful. Miracles are so powerful and Jesus Christ is so powerful, but do you know what shuts it down? What shuts down the supernatural power of God in our lives? What shuts down the supernatural power of God in the church? Well, it's a really simple thing. It's called unbelief. And this scripture, I'll tell you, every time I read this scripture in John 10, verse 37 and 38, I marvel. Like I go, my goodness, that is intense. This is a really powerful and incredible truth that blows my mind a little bit. And here's what it says. I'm going to go somewhere else first. Sorry. I'm talking about Matthew 13, actually, verse 57 through 58. Let me read this. Okay. And it says, and they took offense at him, talking about Jesus, refusing to believe in him. But Jesus said to him, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And in verse 58, here's the scripture that I marvel at. It says, and he did not do many miracles there in Nazareth because of their unbelief. And then, in other versions, it says he just said, you know, he healed a few headaches, right? So he was unable to move in the power in his own hometown because people didn't honor him as a prophet. People didn't recognize who he was. And I want to say with a little bit of, you know, trembling today is that a lot of times we are not recognizing who Jesus is, namely who Jesus is in us. We are not living consistent with who we are because we are in unbelief that Jesus Christ is actually alive in us. And I mean, we say the scriptures, right? We can recite the scriptures, but do we really believe that we are, that Jesus Christ, the very Jesus that we read about in the gospels, the very Jesus that, you know, we read about getting crucified, that we've heard about for many of us our entire lives, that actually the resurrected King of Kings is alive in us? And I think it's really interesting what God said at the beginning of the year. He said, the way that I want to manifest myself through you is mind-blowing. And I think so many times because we live under the illusion of separation from God and we live like we're waiting on God to do something rather than God is waiting on us to be able to speak as him and to be able to move as him. and to be able to pray from a place where our words are not our own, where we are actually prophetically declaring what the Lord is saying in situations, I think that we are living far below our inheritance in Christ, and we are seeing a lot of times defeat when in fact we should be seeing victory. And so this message is super, super powerful. I mean, Jesus went so far as to say this in John 10, verse 37 through 38. This is the Voice translation. He said this. He says, "By all means, do not believe in me if I am not doing the things of the Father." He says, verse 38, "But examine my actions, and you will see that my work is the work of the Father." He says, "Regardless of whether you believe in me, believe the miracles. Then you will know that the Father is in me and I am in the Father," right? So Jesus was basically saying the miracles are what provided the source for them to believe that he and the Father were one, right? And so miracles are the natural product. They are the natural outflow of our union with God. The more that we know it, the more that we actually believe it, the more that we actually experience our oneness with God, the more that we can live consistent with who we really are. I mean, you guys know my story, right? My story is kind of a little bit of a crazy story in the sense that I didn't know any of this, right? I grew up in the Bible Belt. I grew up in the Baptist church. I mean, I got saved like most people got saved, right? I heard I was a sinner, that I was going to go to hell unless I accepted Jesus into my heart. And then I went down to the front of the church. And frankly, I cried in my bed for 3 days begging God to save me. I was 10 years old because I knew I was such a sinner. I'm not even sure why, how, you know, what sins I was committing at 10 years old. But the point is I was wicked to the core and knew that I needed to be saved. I did not want to burn in hell. And so I accepted Jesus. I accepted Jesus into my heart. And then I tried to be a good Christian and I failed miserably at it. At 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, until I was 15 years old and said, forget it, and just kind of walked away. I walked away in my heart. I said, forget this. No matter how hard I try, I can't be a good Christian. And I just went nuts. And I was what you would call probably a prodigal. And I went the other direction. I made fun the name of the game. I made fun my idol. And I got myself into a whole lot of bondage as a result. And it wasn't until, I mean, really, my early 30s that I got introduced, frankly, to what I would call the true gospel and the reality that I was one with God. And, you know, it was a process of renewing my mind. And the Holy Spirit, praise God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God that someone showed me how to pray outside of my mind and how to understand that the Holy Spirit was alive in me and that the Holy Spirit was a person, was a part of the Godhead, and that wanted to have a relationship with me. And I began to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit and began to be able to hear the voice of God. Because hearing the voice of God is the foundation for a life of the miraculous. It's a foundation, frankly, for our ability to even have a relationship with God, right? I mean, Jesus told the Pharisees that, you know, you search the scriptures, you know, thinking that in the scriptures you're going to find eternal life, but you refuse to come to me. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema word, every revealed word, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father, right? I mean, Jesus's words are life, and God is still speaking. And he's speaking through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God's presence within us. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so thankfully, the Holy Spirit gave me a meditation project that I didn't know that I was what I was getting into when I got the meditation project. Frankly, I didn't even know what meditation was, but he said, "I want you to study and meditate on one scripture for a whole year, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory." I thought, well, how boring. You know, up to that point, I thought that, you know, a good Christian, you know, is someone that read their Bible through in a year, right? Had a Bible reading plan, you know, but here he says, wait a minute, what real worship is for you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And that pleases him way more than a religious routine. I mean, God wanted me, God wanted my body. That's why we're called the body. And so he wanted me to know who was alive in me. And so I began to meditate on this scripture. You guys, many of you know the story. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go stand in front of the mirror. And I want you to stand there and look at yourself until you can see Jesus's eyes staring back through yours. Well, I just thought, well, what in the world is this? You know, I didn't understand that, you know, the scripture that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened so that I would know the hope of my calling, right? I didn't recognize that the hope of my calling was Christ in me. I didn't understand how to connect with it. I didn't even really have a revelation of my union. Even though I had, you know, begun to get a revelation of my identity in Christ, but somehow my identity in Christ was still separate from Christ, right? I was the Son of God that was somehow living independent, like next side by side with Jesus. Jesus was my elder brother. Rather than putting on Christ and recognizing Christ in me was the same Christ that was risen from the dead. And that I, who I thought I was, I, Shalice, my self-identity that I identified with, as a human being that lived on earth, right, was crucified with Christ. Like there was no I apart from him, that the I was now him. And so I was just beginning to grab a hold of that. And you know, I remember, you know, at one point the Holy Spirit saying, you're Jesus in a Shalice suit, and just had kind of this flash of a picture of me like wearing a Halloween costume that was Christ. You know, like I was literally clothed in Christ. Like Jesus, when the unseen realm looked at me, they looked at Christ. And then, of course, he took me into Revelation chapter 1 and talked to me about who is actually alive in me, right? This is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one who has hair white like wool, face like a sun, eyes burning like fire, right? Feet like burnished bronze, who holds the keys of Hades and death, right? This resurrected king is who lived inside of me. And I will tell you, it completely transformed my life. It catapulted me into ministry, which I didn't even know that I was called to ministry, because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit had me just ministering to people on the streets of Chicago. And I told him I didn't do that. Right? I knew nothing about signs and wonders. He sent me to an assisted living home. And next thing you know, I'm supposed to be leading a Bible study. I didn't do that either. And next thing you know, I'm thinking, well, these people don't need a Bible study. They need a miracle. And so then next thing you know, he's teaching me how to heal the sick, brought me to a book called How to Heal the Sick. And I started practicing, learning how to work signs and wonders and pray for the sick. And next thing you know, I'm thrown into a whole miraculous life. And this happened through the power of the Holy Spirit, just me listening to the Holy Spirit and, you know, frankly, reluctantly many times, just doing what the Holy Spirit asked me to do. And so, you know, this transformation in my own life into a life of the supernatural happened through that scripture, Colossians 1:27. And so understanding who we are, understanding our union with God. And when I say understanding it, I don't just mean being able to recite it. I mean being able to experience it. Is a catalyst. It's a mind renewal. It's a transfiguration of the definition of what it means to be a human being. And beloved, this is the reality of who the body of Christ is. And as we step into living consistent with who we really are, well, guess what? God begins to manifest himself through us. That ultimately is our worship, that ultimately is our practical service, to be the body of Christ. Yes, to be his hands, yes, to be his voice, yes, to be his eyes, his ears, and which it goes right into the dream thing that I had on New Year's Eve, right? I shared that in my word of the month, my word of the year, and I'm gonna share it again because I said it was an impartation. And I'm gonna stick with this. I'm gonna stick with this until we are operating as one with the Lord, as we are operating, and frankly, as one with one another. Gosh, there's so many things in my heart right now. So remember, the dream that I had on New Year's Eve was I woke up early in the morning and I was in that dream state and my eyes were still closed, but I just saw them like it was like in the dream or spirit vision, whatever it was, my eyes opened. And in that moment, it was like my eyes opened for the very first time, but they were not my eyes. They were the eyes of Yahweh. Okay, they were literally like God had taken over ownership of my eyes. And it was like I was seeing for the very, very first time. And God began to unpack for me, like we literally are the body of God, that we are the physical component of the Godhead and that we are here on the earth to manifest, yes, the will of God, the power of God, the heart of God, and the desire of God here on the earth. And he was talking about how the human body was technology, and that he wanted to use our eyes and our faculties, our human body, as an instrument of righteousness to propagate and expand his kingdom on the earth. And he wanted to use our bodies to focus on what he wants to see materialized in the earth. And it was a very, very powerful experience. I mean, it was the embodiment, an experience of the embodiment of God. And to the degree that God, first of all, already lives inside of us, but how unaware and how we are not operating in that level of awareness and that level of union with God. But that is the desire. And that, frankly, is the move of God that is happening in the earth. In fact, you know, so many things have been happening. I'm just coming off my notes here, but let me just tell you an example of this. What do I mean by living supernaturally? I mean, when's the last time, those of you that are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, if you aren't baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, please go watch episode number 63 on my podcast or listen to it on the podcast and find out more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God wants to use your tongue. God wants to actually be able to use your mouth to create the kingdom of God here on earth. And speaking in tongues means that we're not speaking out of our intellect. It means that we have left the realm of the natural senses and our natural minds and our analytical thinking and our carnal minds. And we have stepped into a place where our tongues are not connected to our neural pathways, but they are connected to our spirits. And as we begin to speak in tongues and we begin to pray in the Spirit, well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is now speaking through us. And it is so, so very powerful. And it is the supernatural. It is a supernatural manifestation of God in our lives. And for those of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit, those of us that do speak in tongues, I mean, everybody's got the Holy Spirit. Please don't take that the wrong way. I'm just saying that it's a manifestation. It's a gift. It's a free gift of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 talks about, you know, praying in tongues. He says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. I wish that all of you prayed in tongues. Now, he said in a church assembly, you know, prophecy is more powerful than speaking in tongues without an interpretation because nobody can understand what you're saying. But it wasn't like, don't speak in tongues. It was like, just speak in tongues and either interpret it when you're in a public setting or prophesy. But here's the point. He says, pray that you may interpret. And I just want to say, when's the last time you sat down and prayed and interpreted tongues? You say, well, Shalise, I can't do that. And I want to say, well, that's a problem. That's a problem that we cannot interpret tongues. It's a problem that we don't know how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a problem that the church is not raising up supernatural sons of God that can connect to the wisdom of God, reconnect our tongues to the mouth of God, so that the will of God and the plans of God and the purposes of God can be manifested in the earth through his body. Okay, the supernatural is not optional for the life of a believer. First of all, we have an enemy that's out there to kill us. We have an enemy that is opposing the expansion of the kingdom of God. That we have a deception that is running rampant across the earth, right? We are dummied down into this intoxicated slumber where we are programmed with the mindsets of the world. And beloved, we need to break out of natural thoughts, break out of natural living, break out of being trapped in a fallen mindset and a fallen perspective of the world. And we need to wake up to the reality that Jesus Christ is moving and wants to move through us. For example, I was just literally praying in the Spirit and interpreting last Friday and, you know, just asking God for wisdom, and it just began to pray in tongues and then began to interpret it. And it was so supernatural. First of all, he began to have me pray for every single person that is connected to me. I'm just going to read a couple of the things that he spoke through me over you last Friday, just to give you an example of how, you know, God wants to use our tongue. I said this. I said, I release a new operating system into your DNA. I was speaking to those that are connected to me. And I said, I release a new sound, a new frequency, and I command it to resonate at a higher frequency than before. Higher, higher, higher. I said, frequency rise, sound be released, light shine, brighter and brighter, wisdom, strategy, supernatural increase come. I said, today is a new day, and I declare a new way. I declare a new way of operating. I declare a new way of speaking. I declare a new way of behaving. I speak freedom over you. You are free to grow, expand, increase exponentially with no fear of the future. I said, I release a new level of discernment, and I decree that you will know that you will not be deceived or dismayed by anyone or anything. I said, you have risen from the dead, and Christ has awakened you from the intoxicating slumber that the world and its fallen mindset seduced you into. I said, Christ has shined the glorious light of the gospel into your hearts and minds, and you will no longer agree with the strongholds and the mindsets or the thoughts of the old man. I said, the new man, Christ, is your I am, and you will no longer be led by anyone or anything except Christ in his spirit. I said, Papa has spoken, and he shall complete it. And I said, I speak to every demonic system that has invaded our thinking, and I declare that it is destroyed and replaced with the mind and the structure of the King. I said, grace reigns supreme, and you reign in righteousness with him. I said, life, peace, joy, significance, influence, wealth, honor, promotion, increase, glory, power, and riches are in your house, and every trace of the curse is reversed and removed. I said, you have the mind of Christ now, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? And so this was just a prayer, a supernatural prayer that I was praying for you as I prayed in the spirit and interpreted and gave voice to the will of God and gave voice to the prayer that God is praying for us. Amen. And here's what the Lord began to speak to me right after that happened. You know, he said, every failure is a prayer failure. Now, granted, even what we think prayer is needs to be reshaped into from a union perspective. We need to recognize that prayer is simply speaking what God is speaking. Now, granted, it is relational. God meets us where we are. We talk with God all the time. It's not that it isn't relational, but prayer that actually gets results, prayer that changes things, prayer that releases the kingdom of God and reverses whatever is showing up in our lives that is not in alignment with our inheritance and the victory of Jesus are words that are spoken in Jesus' name. And when I say every failure is a prayer failure, what I'm saying is the right words have not been spoken in faith. I'm saying that God has not spoken into that situation. And sometimes it'll come with an instruction, fill up the water pot. Sometimes it'll come with a declaring, speak to the mountain. But it is a strategy. It's a solution. It's wisdom. And if we don't have the wisdom and the strategy and the words and the actions that God is speaking into a situation, then of course there's not going to be victory, right? So it's when he began to speak to me about getting back to the supernatural, that it is required. It's required. And that prayer is not optional, but prayer with power, prayer that brings the kingdom, prayer that's spoken in Jesus' name, not just prayer like, God, please do this. It's no, God in Jesus' name is doing this, right? You know, there will be no rain for 3 years, right? That's how Elijah prayed. He didn't just say, God, don't let it rain. He just said, there'll be no rain for 3 years. Like, it's a prayer that speaks things into existence. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. It's the prayer that moves mountains. And it's the words of God coming through us. It's where we have taken on the faith, we don't have faith in God. It's where God's faith begins to operate through us because of union with him. And so anyway, he's beginning to share about this, and he just said a really simple little phrase. He said, the tongue steers the ship. Okay, done praying in tongues. Tongue steers the ship. And then he said, go get that book, which, I mean, I haven't thought about this book. I had to go dig for it, right? It's a book, an old book, old school book called Commanding Your Morning by Cindy Trim. And you know, I went and got that book off the shelf. He just said, the tongue steers the ship. I got the book off the shelf and literally opened it to page 44. Okay, this is supernatural, you guys. And here's what it says. What happens to a ship if you head it in one direction at one moment and then turn it in the opposite direction in the next and keep doing that over and over? Pretty simple. It goes nowhere. This is what happens when people start speaking about the good things they're expecting to happen one minute and then spend the next half hour talking about all the negative things happening to them that are keeping them from getting there. They're turning their lives in circles. They line up their spoken words with where they want to go for a little while, and then they meet a storm along the way, and all they do is talk about how bad the weather is and lose track of where they were headed in the first place, right? And this is just a straight, right before that, she's talking about James, verse 2 through 5, that says, "For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to also bridle his whole body." In other translations, it says, "able to control their whole body," if they can control their tongue. It says, "And we put a bit into the mouths of horses so that they obey us. We guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things," right? So, you know, I'm just giving you an example, like an example of the supernatural in a practical way that happened just last Friday, right? It's a correction, right? That the tongue is steering the ship. What are you saying? Are your words God's? Are you praying in the spirit? Are you praying as God, right? How God wants to manifest himself this year is mind-blowing. And the question is, how are we operating? Are we giving God our tongue? Are we giving God our body? Are we operating independently? Are we operating in union with him? And what do we believe? I mean, if we are to live consistent with who we really are, whether we are to live consistent with the resurrected King Jesus being alive in us and steering the ship and actually offering ourselves as a living sacrifice so that he can manifest himself through us. Now, I said this in my notes, and I said the supernatural begins with hearing God. And the reality of it today in the body of Christ is that the majority of people are not hearing God. How do I know? Well, because I talk to people all the time, but you can take a survey around your Christians, around the Christian friends that you have. Do you hear God's voice on demand? Praise God if you are in a circle of friends that do hear God's voice on demand. But I can tell you that that's an exception to the rule, right? And here's the truth. Brian and I celebrated our 20th year anniversary last Wednesday. And so just for fun, we went over to Pastor Bill Winston's church on Wednesday night, Living Word here in Chicago, which, you know, Pastor Winston married us 20 years ago. So we thought it was kind of a full circle moment. So we went over there, and let me just tell you something that he said that I wrote it down just because it was so powerful. It said, "If it's not working, somebody isn't hearing from God." Wow, that's a powerful statement. If it's not working, somebody isn't hearing from God. And I just want to say that's a problem, right? That's a real problem for our lives. We aren't seeing the breakthrough. We aren't seeing the miracles. When we pray, a lot of times we're doing all the talking, right? We're not listening. We're not praying the words of God. We're just parroting off the problem. We're talking to God about, and I'm not saying that we can't have that kind of relational, honest relationship with God. I mean, obviously David, you know, the Psalms are filled with that, but isn't it interesting how many of the Psalms, you know, are also prophecies? Like David would start out, you know, telling his soul to calm down or telling God, da, 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 da. And the next thing you know, it's a prophecy about Jesus or it's a prophecy about something. Like prayer didn't end many times with just the complaint or the honesty before God, right? It ended with a solution. It ended with David being encouraged. And I hope I'm not coming across like, you know, I'm trying to condemn anybody. I'm a little fired up for myself as well. I mean, it's just like, this enough is enough of this natural nonsense. Like, this is normal Christianity. It may not be average Christianity, but this is normal Christianity. And it is time for us to connect with the reality of the supernatural in our lives and get equipped. Right? If you haven't, you know, gotten my course, Hear God on Demand, head over to my website and do it. Just get the course. I mean, learn how to hear God. Learn. It is taught. The supernatural is taught. It's caught in a sense in that, you know what? That's what making disciples means, right? It's caught as we are discipled and mentored and have spiritual moms and dads in the faith that actually teach us these things the way Jesus did with his disciples. But learn these skills. I mean, I was taught how to operate in the supernatural, whether it was to pray for the sick by Charles and Francis Hunter, or it was to prophesy in the, you know, all the places that I was taught to prophesy, to learn the gifts of the Spirit, and then obviously been equipping the body of Christ for over 20 years in operating in the supernatural. But it's time to, like, really, these are basics. Hearing the voice of God is a basic skill in the kingdom of God. How in the world can we be led by the Spirit if we can't hear the Holy Spirit? How can we follow the instructions if we can't hear the instructions? And it is a lie from the pit of hell that you can't hear God, because the sheep know his voice and you have the mind of Christ and you are one with God. Now, your awareness and your mind, your unrenewed mind, and the way that we've been programmed by religion and by the church and by the world and our own life experiences, I mean, has taught us to live independent from God. It's taught us to rely on our natural mind and our natural senses and the medical systems and the education systems and all of the systems, right? Besides the kingdom of God. And so mind renewal brings us back into this place of understanding that we are one with God, and that all that we need, everything has been placed inside of us, that we are a creative force, and that the same way that God created the worlds by saying, let there be light, well, that same creator is alive in us and wants to speak using our mouth and using our tongue to create heaven on earth. So it's time to get back to basics. And I can tell you guys, you know, because I was raised in a supernatural environment by Bill Winston, I was at that church for 7 years. And I mean, just signs and wonders and miracles all the time. I remember thinking, like, I was almost offended. I remember going into this church and thinking, well, what have I been doing my whole life? Like, playing church, what have I been doing? What is this, you know? And I just remember thinking, well, gosh, like, I refuse. I'm never going to go to a church again where the miraculous is not normal. And then, you know, of course, I moved to Colorado for 14 years. And I'll tell you what, I was amazed. I was amazed that supposedly this Christian Mecca of the United States was like, where are the miracles? Where are the signs and wonders? And I'm not trying to be judgmental. It's an observation that the body of Christ has settled for the natural. We've settled for religious routines. We've settled for dependence on the world system. We've settled for a life that is void of signs and wonders. And because of modern conveniences, we can get a lot done without them. And so we're surrounded by unbelief. We aren't speaking to fig trees. We aren't speaking to storms. Maybe we are, but are we getting the results? Are signs and wonders the things that are characterizing Christianity in our lives? Or are we just, I don't know what I want to say, not preaching the gospel, not living out of kingdom realities with signs and wonders being a normal part of our lives. So what is true is that we end up usually having the same problems and sometimes even greater ones because of the resistance of the enemy, instead of doing the same works and greater works than Jesus. So anyway, I've said a whole lot today. But here's where I want to land it, because we're getting out of time. We're running out of time for this introductory episode. Is that this is the other thing God said, you know, at the beginning of the year, the way that I want to manifest myself through you is mind blowing, right? This is the year for us to step into as me consciousness. What do I mean by that? I mean, where we are aware of Yahweh, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And we are no longer depending on our natural understanding. It says it's time to believe for impossible things and to time to take the limits off. And here's what God said. He said, allow me to be me in you, through you, and as you. So beloved, I have more that I want to share, but we've got multiple episodes that are going to be coming in this series. But here's what I just want to end with today. You are more powerful than you've imagined, and there are miracles in your mouth. And if you don't know what to pray, well, pray in the Spirit. Pray that you interpret. Get the wisdom of God. Get the instructions from God, beloved. And then just do whatever he says. Say whatever he says. Be an imitator of God, meaning do what the Father is doing, say what the Father is saying, and operate from the place of your inheritance where you are one with Jesus. And if you do not know how to do this, let's say that you have been a Christian for a long time, or you're a brand new believer and you do not know how to do this, well, I encourage you to join Elevate. Okay. Elevate is our monthly program that you can join. You can step into it anytime. You can go over to shalise.com. You can step into the program. Actually, I'm doing the coaching call that we do for that every month. I'm doing that today at noon. There's time. It's almost 10 o'clock here central. You can still step into that and join even that call for today. The topic for January is the eternal now, and it's stepping into really the vision that God has for our lives as something that's already finished, that was finished before the foundation of the world. There is months and months and months of teaching in that program. At this point, I don't know, maybe 18 months, 16 months, I don't know how many exact months there are of teaching. Like, you could spend just the rest of the year going through what we've already done in there and step into supernatural living. And like I said earlier, there's the course, How to Hear the Voice of God as well. And if you really want some mentorship, well, then you can step into Emerge as well. You know, you can go onto the website, you can apply to Emerge, and we can chat with you more about that. That's a 3-month intensive program to release you into your purpose through and step you into a place where you're experiencing union so that you can fulfill it. So we have resources available to you guys. Obviously, I'm going to be teaching more on this podcast. We are in the process of launching our YouTube channel, so it'll be easier to share these teachings and the things that God is doing here in this ministry with others. But until next week, you guys, I bless you. I will continue to pray for you, and I pray that this has stirred you up to not settle for less than the fullness of the stature of Jesus in your life. You are a supernatural being by design, right? You there's no more equipment to get. Right? It's just awakening to the truth and learning how to operate in it. And so I bless you with just signs, wonders, and miracles and miraculous breakthrough, you guys. And I just truly believe that this is the year that you are going to step into sonship like never before and manifest God in your life like never before. So God bless you. I love you. And we will see you soon. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalise's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalise's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com. And watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.